Turn your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 6, once again, verses 5 and 8. How to do good works, how to do good deeds with the right motive, the right heart, the right attitude, the right spirit, the right mindset. Part 13, always remember God is concerned about your heart condition. God said over in the book of 1st or 2nd Samuel, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And how many of you have learned that looking on the outward appearance has messed you up and has messed your life up, and you've gotten caught up in people and their outward appearance and their facade, when you need to be hanging with God, who looks on the heart. You'll be amazed how God is using some people who don't look that great outwardly, but their heart is right with the Lord. It happens all of the time in the Christian experience. God will take a man over here who his hands are greasy and dirty from working on cars all week. He has a straw hat on. He got a piece of straw in his mouth. And he's one of the greatest soul winners in the community. And then you have a pastor, straight-laced, white shirt, tie, looking just like he just graduated from seminary. Sharp as a tack, but his heart is cold. He has not witnessed anybody in years. He's preaching Andy Stanley's sermons and the baptismal waters are not moving. And this old fellow over here under the shade tree, he doesn't even have a garage. He's a shade tree mechanic. But when you see him, he has the joy of the Lord on his face. Whereas this seminary preacher, he looks like he swallowed a curtain rod. He's so squared up and straight and stiff, he can hardly laugh about anything. But this old fellow, Willie, shade tree mechanic, every time people go by, he waves at them. And God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Just as easy, just as smooth as ice. Yeah, do you know? Yeah, that's right. Anybody come out here, they're going to hear about Jesus now. So, you know. If it take you take me an hour to do your car, depending on how hard you are, I'll just keep you here for 2 or 3 hours and witness to you and tell you about Jesus, because I love to tell the story. My name is Willie. What's yours? You see the preacher down there on the corner, and you shake his hand, and he'll ask you, what is your name? My name is Billy Bob. Reverend, what's your name? Reverend Dr. Do Little and Do Nothing, Sit on My Behind, DDD. Don't you get mad with me. You know it's true. God does it all the time. He does it all the time. God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance. What's in your heart Do you really love him? Do you really love Jesus? So that's what this is about. That's what this passage is about. And that's Jesus being God. He knew to deal with this. Religious teachers, they were not dealing with that. They were all about the outward appearance. We still got a whole lot of church folk who are concerned about their outward appearance. They spend thousands of dollars on clothes. You see them at K&G on Saturdays. They got to find a new suit. The women got to find a new dress. I wore this 3 years ago. I need a new dress. Outward appearance. Isn't it a shame how we're concerned about our outward appearance? And our hearts are corrupt. Wicked as the devil. And by the way, God is turning the world upside down. A whole lot of secrets are being brought out. Shocking and amazing. Very respected preachers being exposed. One preacher having sex with two sisters in the church, and they're married. Must have been fun while it was going on, but now they're suing the preacher and suing the church. And the church is saying, yes, he's an adulterer, but that makes you two, adulteresses. Because he didn't make you do it. He didn't rape you. We better get concerned about our hearts. Can somebody say amen? We better get concerned about our hearts. That's what Jesus is concerned about in this passage. How to do good deeds. That's what we're talking about. We're not trying to give you a practical step one, step two, step three, how to do a great deed, a good deed. Please, you know me better than that. No, it's about your motive, your motives. It's about your heart condition. Why are you doing what you're doing? What's your purpose? What is your aim? Are you trying to be seen? You're trying to be show people that you're sincere, that you're holier than thou. How to do good deeds, part 13. He said, oh, here we go, part 13. Here you go with another one of your long series. No, we do that. We do that because we want to keep the message short so that you'll get it and you'll understand it and you'll run with it. That's why we do that. It is my aim, my purpose, to make the message as short as I possibly can. Particularly with the medium that we're using to get the message out all around the world on iPhones and Samsung phones and all kinds of other phones and devices. People don't have all day long to be looking at you like this for a whole 45 minutes, an hour. Some do. We thank God for those. Some don't. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 477 since January the 20th. 2017, day 844 since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads, Jesus Christ said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I'm reminded of the man who went to church with his wife, and his wife got up and prayed for a half an hour. Very glowing words, very eloquent. And the pastor went down beside the man and said, "Brother Bart, man, I didn't know your wife was such a powerhouse prayer warrior." And Brother Bart said, "I didn't know it either until this morning, because I've never heard her pray at the house." Those are the kind of folk you need to avoid. They're hypocrites. They only want to be seen by others as spiritual. And they like getting pats on the back, how wonderfully they prayed or preach. If you ever get that, you probably didn't do anything. Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." In secret, because God is there in the secret place. The Bible talks about that in Psalms as well. "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions." We have dealt extensively on about that. "As the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And that's what we're going to talk about more today in this series. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do praise you and thank you for all that you've allowed us to accomplish this morning and this early afternoon. It's been a very productive Monday morning and afternoon. And we are excited about what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. And we praise you and we thank you for the fantastic, wonderful, powerful day you gave us on yesterday. And as you know, Lord, I mean it when I say you gave it, because, Lord, only you can do stuff like that. Only you can work like that. It is just beyond our ability to do that. And so all we can say is thank you. And Lord, help everybody to be grateful for being allowed to experience your presence, your peace, and your power. And for Lord, without you, we are nothing and we can't do anything. That's just the truth. That's not pious talk, as you know. And so individually, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults as we, as your saints, as your sinning Christians, unfortunately, seek and ask you to help us to forgive others. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, afresh and anew, and fill us with the power, the unction, and the anointing, the fruit, and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, afresh and anew, and lay upon my heart exactly afresh and anew what you'll have me to preach, the things you'll have me to say. And receive all glory, praise, and honor to yourself. And lift up your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at your right hand and who is with us today as well. And demonstrate the power, the presence, the peace, the purpose of your Holy Spirit to open blinded eyes, to unstop deaf ears, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We also pray, Lord, even though it's been pretty peaceful around here on this Monday, as it usually is on Mondays, the devil seems to be exhausted and gives up on Mondays in most cases. Sometimes he pushes hard even on Mondays, but we thank you for the break. However, we know how sneaky he is. We know about his tricks and wiles, for we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. So, Lord, help all of us here and everybody out there to keep up their guard, to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. to enjoy the day that you're giving us, but to keep our eyes on that devil in the corner, because he will pounce and he will jump as soon as he's given an opportunity. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this message, from this meeting, and cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, Lord, from the hearts and minds of people here and out there. And for Lord, even a psychologist has announced just yesterday that a secular psychologist said that demon activity, demon possession is real, and people need to take people seriously when they are seeking an exorcism. And so, Lord, we know for a fact that the demon activity is real. Because we're preaching the gospel in some way each and every day, he's constantly attacking and doing all kinds of things to try to hinder us. And we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there are some thinking right now, he's giving the devil too much credit. If I, little do they know that if I didn't pray like this, he would do something even in this service and while I'm preaching to cause a problem. And so, Lord, surround us with the band of your holy angels. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God and give us sweet victory once again over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that your gospel would not be hindered in any way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why we should not engage in vain repetition and other foolishness like praying to be seen, which is really, really, when you think about it, disgusting. When we pray is given to us in verse 8. Jesus Christ said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, the heathen." Yes, that's right, the heathen pray too. But they pray in the wrong manner. "For your Father," Jesus Christ said, "knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And before we move on from that powerful point, isn't it comforting to know that God already knows what you need? Isn't it comforting, or it should be comforting to you, to know that God already knows what you're going through? God already knows what you're dealing with. Isn't it comforting to know that if it is something negative, that God has the power to stop it in his tracks immediately before you even pray? This is why sometimes God answers prayers very quickly. He's waiting on you to show faith in him, to show humility, and to show dependence upon him. Amen, somebody. And some of you are shocked at how quickly God answers some prayers, and some of you are equally shocked and how long he takes on others. While you are praying, oftentimes God will give you the answer to your problem that you never thought about before. Can somebody say amen? Instantaneously, as soon as you start praying and acknowledging him in all of your ways, he'll give you the answer to your solution. You never thought of it before. You've been beating your head up against the wall, trying to figure this out, trying to get out of this mess, And God tells you immediately once you start praying to Him. That's one of the values, one of the blessings of prayer. If you're praying aright, with the right heart, the right spirit, the right motive. So it should be comforting to you, some of you worry warts, some of you people who are fraidy cats, as one lady is using today, which I haven't heard in many, many years. I've repeated it two or three times because it's so funny. We used to use scaredy cats. Some of you are scaredy cats. You fear everything and everybody. You're depressed, defeated. You're in the slough of despond and you can't get out. One of the reasons is because you don't pray. Because our God loves us. I don't know why God loves us. That's why we always sing that song, I don't know why. Jesus loves us. But He does. In fact, the Bible says God is love. Jesus had to come down from heaven and tell you all that you don't need to repeat things over and over again to God, because first of all, amen somebody, first of all, He knows everything you're going through. He knows what you need. But he wants you to pray, because you need to do your part. And that is show faith in Him. And one of the best ways to show faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, is to pray to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you should stop being fraidy cats. You should stop being scaredy cats. Defeated, disgusted, worried, sad, mad, bitter. You know why you're that way? Because you don't pray in faith to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God already knows what you need. If you need comfort in the midst of the storm, He knows how to provide that. He knows you need that. And if you pray to Him to get that, He'll give it to you. But you can't be double-minded when you're praying to God. And so, beloved, of course, this begs the question, if God already knows what we need, the age-old question, then why pray? First of all, let me remind you, beloved, that God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and your thoughts are not God's. So there are some things in life that you just have to believe God and have faith in God and let it be. You will never figure it out with your little finite brain. Okay? You just need to have faith in God. Jesus, secondly, shares this with us to remind us of God's sovereignty. Some of us still think that we're in control, and you're not in control. I'm sorry to inform you. I know that hurts you. I know that slaps you down. You're not in control, my beloved. God is in control. And isn't it comforting to know that God is in control? He's in control of this world. He's in control of your life, not you. Janet Jackson, some years ago, came out with a very engaging hit about being in control. And ever since then, she has found out that she is not in control. Her brother Michael is not in control. And nobody in their family is in control. And no one else is in control but God. We don't hear that song too much anymore. I'm sure it's played somewhere. That's why God raises up preachers to remind you of simple things like that. That you're not in control. God is sovereign. God's will be done. And you need to get with God. And pray, Lord, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's not about God finding you and God getting with you with your little plans. It's about you finding God and rolling with him. Can somebody say amen? Some of you are mad and sad and bitter right now because God is not rolling with your plans. You will find out, hopefully, after a while, by and by, that the people who are truly blessed and who have God's joy and peace on their lives and blessings upon their lives are those who find God and roll with him and his will. So nothing we do or say comes as a surprise to God Almighty. Nothing. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God's not shocked at anything. God's not taken aback. God has never been bamboozled. He's never run amok. And we have millions of witnesses, especially in the black church, back in the day when black folks needed God. All kinds of sayings came out of the black church. God will make a way out of no way. And then another sister will come around and say, won't he though? Oh yes. God is a way maker. The old saints in the black church, they were always on the telephone with God. You know why? Because just listen to the songs. God would always answer that phone. It was never busy. And God would listen as long as you would talk. They learned something about God, that God is sovereign. God has all power in his hands. And they came up with songs like How I Got Over. All black folk know how they got over. They got over by God's grace, by God's might, by God's power. God already knows. He already knows what we need to live our lives. Isn't it amazing that so many Christians, God gets them to a point and then he's trying to move them on up and they are fraidy cats and they don't want to move. God's trying to move them on up into a better situation. Why? Because God knows best. But they are scaredy cats, and they said, no, Lord, we like it right here. We're comfortable right here. And you keep on resisting God, he'll leave you right there. Okay, then. He said, all right, you some Negroes that want to, you need to go another 40 years in the wilderness. I'm trying to move you on up a little higher, but you won't let me. I preached a sermon one time titled Seven Ways to limit God. I stole it from a Pentecostal preacher. I got to tell the truth. I have to tell the truth. I lie not. That's what my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., used to say. I lied not to you. I stole it from a Pentecostal preacher, a little preacher who had a hole in the wall church. I mean, it was literally a hole in the wall. It's narrow. It was not spread out at all. It was a storefront, narrow, right down the line. I mean, it was a hallway. And I popped in there on him one night. And bless his heart, he was a preaching machine. He was a preaching machine. There's no doubt about it. And he was preaching a message, how we limit God, out of Psalm. And I saw that it was seven ways to limit God. I retitled it, Seven Ways to Limit God. I preached that message all across the country and around the globe. It was hot. It became one of my sugar sticks down on the low end. For those of you who don't know what a sugar stick, that's preacher talk. Those are sermons that you just get up and preach. You have no notes. You have nothing. You preach them so many times. All you have is the word of God, and you know it's going to work. It's a sugar stick. It's going to work. It's going to get the job done. And there are ways that you can limit God, people. God wants to bless you. God wants to do things for you. Some of you all are not blessed as you could be because you have a bad attitude, a bad spirit towards God. You don't have faith in God. You don't pray. You pray when somebody comes along and asks you to pray, but you don't pray by yourself on your own. Don't limit God like that. How many times God said, okay, it's time for you to move and do something else, and you finally got around to it and did it, and it was way better than where you were? And how many thousands of folk never jumped out by faith and did what God wanted them to do, and they're right where they were, not being blessed because they're in disobedience? God is sovereign. He's in control. You're not a little mad person, a little angry person, little bitter person. You're not in control. You are tied up in a little small knot. No good for yourself, no good for anybody else. You're not even worshiping God right because your attitude stinks. And you think you're all that. You think you're more important than others. You think your will is more important than God's will. And that is not the case. And so, beloved, when we pray, we ought not assume that we are informing God of what is going on in our lives. Please, please don't do stupid things like that. Lord, you know, I was dating this man and he hurt me, and the Lord, I'm in a fetal position right now. I can't get up. I can't move. I have fallen in the bed and I can't get up. You don't need to inform God what's going on. He already knows. God, I don't sense that you feel me. I don't sense that you understand me. What's going on in my life? Lord, where are you, Lord? Where have you been? All this kind of crazy talk. And we hear, listen to me, God, may God bless you all. But we hear a lot of this talk on talk radio. It's disgusting to do. Constantly we talk about how you feel all alone and God is not with you and so forth and so on. I mean, God is there. God is here. He's everywhere. And he's sovereign. And if he does not choose to move right now, that's his business. You need to wait on God. Amen, somebody. And see, that's one of the things we hate in our American lifestyle. We hate waiting on God. We hate waiting on anything. Some of you folks, you hate waiting for your food when you roll around the drive-thru, except for Chick-fil-A. You don't mind waiting for Chick-fil-A because you know you're going to get it pretty quickly. And the folks are going to be pretty nice about it. But some of you can't wait a hot 5 minutes. You start moving your fingers like this on the steering wheel. That means you're about to blow. Either blow out that line or blow off some steam at that lady at that window. And when you start moving them fingers like that, your blood pressure is rising. You can't wait on a sandwich for 5 minutes. You have a very hard time waiting on God for 5 years. And that's right. Sometimes God would take 5 years to give you what you're praying for because you weren't ready for it. We got people running around. I want to be married. I'm on Match.com. I'm on Christian Match. I'm on this match and that match. I feel like setting a fire. I got so many matches. And nobody's calling. And every time I do get a hit, I meet them at a public place. One man had a sombrero on his head. I said, oh, no. You need to wait on God. God is telling you to wait. Because you're not ready. You're not ready yourself. You know that you're a man eater. Just like we saw recently, a young, very smart black lady, she's a lawyer, met with a black man at a cafe to talk about historically black colleges. She literally ate him alive. And this was not a adversarial conversation. They work for the same company. But she chewed him up and spit him out and made him look like a big dummy on his own show. And then did one of these black magic, black women magic numbers and popped her fingers, bam, bam. Okay, now keep up now, and then took a sip of coffee. Keep up, because you can't keep up with me. I'm talking circles around you. You don't even know what I'm talking about. You see, you're not ready. You're not ready to get married. Because your game is to chew men up and spit them out and show your mastery over them. You might need to wait 10 years before you get married. You might be one of those who will see your picture on Facebook saying, she got married at 59. Well, praise the Lord. Wow. David said in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou knowest my down sitting. That's right, brothers. God knows when you sit down in your easy chair at night. And he sees what you're doing and he knows what you're doing. And mine uprising, you know what time I get up, Lord. You know how I look when I get up. You know how I am when I get up. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. God, you know what I'm thinking about. You say, well, preacher, how did the psalmist come up with this? It's called revelation. Real revelation. Not this fake revelation your little prophet be telling you about in your little church. Okay? Real revelation. Biblical. Inspired from God. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. When you lie down and take a nap, God is there. And art acquainted with all my ways. You know everything that I do, everything that I say. You know where I'm at all times. You don't need a spy monitor on me. You know. And by the way, those of you who are saved, that little presence you feel everywhere you go, that's not like somebody's watching. That's God. Those of you who want to do something in the black and dark night, but you're still concerned about somebody seeing you, that's God. God is all over you. Not only is God the greatest evangelist, God is the greatest shepherd. Once he saves you, oh yeah, he's going to watch over you. Oh yes. Oh yes. Never think you got away with anything. Never, 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 never think so stupidly. God is all over you. Not because he hates you, not because he's trying to make your life uncomfortable, but because you were bought with the price of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's no small thing. And God's not playing. I was happy to see something yesterday. Somebody wrote an article that nothing in church should be made just for fun, for us to have fun. You know, we get a whole lot of this mess today. Are you kidding me? People are dying and going to hell. We don't know how many hundreds just went to hell from the volcano that just exploded down below us in a country down below America. 25 we know have died. Many are injured. Many are missing. They say that the lava that comes out of the lake of fire, I call it the lake of fire, there's nothing like it, man. It's over 1,000 degrees. My, my, my. We need to stop playing and start praying. You know, he'd be having stuff just for fun. We're going to have a Sunday night gathering just for fun. Ice cream social. Bring your favorite ice cream. And we're just going to have fun together. First of all, I can have fun at home watching the game with some ice cream. Why not get together to go out and knock on doors and witness to folks about Jesus? Why not get together and go and visit the 1,000 people that used to come, but they don't come anymore? That's a big ministry, by the way. A whole ministry segment ought to be created called the Rescue Ministry for the Christians who have become backslidden and quit. That's a full, somebody ought, you ought to pay somebody full time just to go get them. And then another ministry set aside to just reach lost people, the heathen. Be that as it may, the Bible continues, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it." God knows everything. God hears everything altogether. In fact, God knows our needs better than we know them. Can somebody say amen? I've said this many times. I believe God wants us saved way more than we want to be saved. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of God we serve. He is sovereign, and he is loving, and he is omniscient. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is here right now. God knows exactly what's going on. Right here. And right where you are. In the matter of prayer, this brings us to only one conclusion. When we pray, we are praying not for God's sake, but for our sake. Dr. John R. Rice put it this way, he broke it down, and sometimes the biggest genius is the one who makes it the most simple. Dr. John R. Rice, editor of The Sword of the Lord when he was alive, founder of The Sword of the Lord, help change a nation, help change his generation. He served his generation well. He wrote a little book titled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. God does not have to ask you for anything. You need to ask him for something. God does not need our prayers. You need to pray to God. Can somebody say amen? When we pray, beloved, we express our total dependence on God for our needs and our wants. It is an act of humility. I saw a very telling t-shirt. I'm not a t-shirt man with words. I do not wear words on my body. I just don't do that. It's not me. But many people do. And one of the most talented actors might be getting the message. Now, he's not that talented to me, but he's talented to my children. He's a rather dark individual to me. Has always been with the pirates and everything. He's a scary fellow to me. But my children seem to like the Joker. Not my cup of tea. I think I made that point clear. Johnny Depp had a t-shirt on. It's been seen around the world now. Be humbled. Be humble or get humbled. I said, here we go. He might be getting the message. Be humble or get humble. Johnny, one of those wild fellows, probably was told by his mother, his father, his auntie, to stop all that drug, all those drugs and drinking alcohol and getting drunk out of your mind. And now he does not look healthy at all. Looks like he's dying. And everybody's concerned. Prayer is an act of humility for us to surrender to God and let him know that we acknowledge his sovereignty in our lives. And by the way, beloved, the more you do that, the better off you're going to be. I assure you. In the words of Charles McKinney, you can take that and put that in your hat. You can bank on that. Roy Pritchard said, God doesn't need our prayers, but we need to pray to God. We pray in order to express our complete dependence on our Heavenly Father. We pray to build our faith in God. We pray because He is God and we are not. Never forget it. Be humble. Or get humble. And God specializes in that humble business. He specializes in it. Because you have to be humble before you go to God. And so, beloved, when we realize that God already knows our needs, and yet we go to Him and ask for them in prayer, we submit ourselves to God's divine plan for carrying out His will in our lives and in the universe. We cease trying to do things our way. Amen, somebody. I hope you have learned that. If you haven't, just keep on living your Christian life. You will learn it. God has a way. Yes, He does. We cease trying to do things our way and make room for God to do things his way. Let me rephrase that. We cease trying to do things our way, and God does things his way, whether you make room or not. Even though he knows what we are going to pray for before we come to him, and he knows whether or not we're going to pray at all. He has ordained that prayer is the way by which we get what we need and get the good things that we desire. Amen, somebody. So it's okay. Even though God knows everything about you and me. Right now, God knows what you need. More than likely, you're more concerned about what you want. And God knows that, he knows that too. He knows what you want. And hear me well from the Word of God. If you delight yourself in the Lord, please get this. Because so many of you are missing out on God's best for your life. God is not trying to hurt you. The people over you that he's placed over you, they're not trying to hurt you. We have some proud, devilish people in the church and even in our families. They always think God is out to get them, that the people that God has placed over them are out to get them. The pastor is out to get them. The father is out to get them. The mother is out to get them. The boss is out to get them. That's the devil planning some stupid stuff in your mind to keep you from gaining and getting God's best for your life. I promise you from the Word of God, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the not only the desires of your heart, but precisely down to a T, exactly what you desire, as long as it's not evil. We're not talking about somebody else's wife and somebody else's husband, somebody else's children. We're not. Come on now, you're full of the devil thinking that way. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. We're not. You're not in this conversation if you're talking about that. You're evil. You're evil as the devil, thinking along those lines, and you need to stop thinking stupidly. So I desire her husband. I desire his wife. The devil desires for you to do something so dumb and so stupid. Okay? So stop thinking like that. Stop wishing for people to die. Stop wishing for people to get a divorce and all kinds of crazy stuff like that that you talk about in your little coffee tea circle. That's from the pits of hell. See, people have lost, some folk, even in the church, act like they've lost their minds to even raise stupid things up like that. God will, he will deal with you. You're going to get the opposite of the desires of your heart. You end up getting nothing in a miserable, sad, long life and end up dead with nothing. Because God does not play. The old folks used to say God does not like ugly. And he doesn't. So we're not talking about that. But the good things you desire in life. If you delight in the Lord. That means you trust in him. You depend upon him. You love him back. You fear him, you reverence him, you respect him to the point that you will not do evil, that you will be obedient and not disobedient. And once you're obedient, you'll be faithful at it. God can depend on you because you trust in him, you love him, you fear him, you are obedient to him, he will count you as faithful, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In fact, if you are a tithing, giving person, he'll give you the desires of your heart, plus he'll give you so much you don't have room enough to receive it. That's, you can bank on what I'm telling you. And it may not come when you think it ought to come, but it will come. We serve a good God. Oh, yes. And we're not talking about prosperity gospel. If you are paying on a house, you're paying on a car, I don't care how expensive it is, how beautiful it is, that's not prosperity, dear friend. That's prison. You are living in debt. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is when you own the house, you own the business, you own your car, you own your clothes, you don't need a credit card, so you don't have one. That's prosperity. Okay? If you don't have that going on, you don't have prosperity. God will give you the desires of your heart if you delight in him. Do you delight in him? May not come when you think it ought to come, but it'll be right on time, I assure you. And so, beloved, in closing, allow me to share with you these words titled, My Father Knows. My Father Knows by Sarepta Henry. She said, I know my Heavenly Father knows the storms that would my way oppose, but he can drive the clouds away and turn the darkness into day. I can hear the old black Amen corner saints, and won't he though? Because they know. Won't he though? Sarepta goes on to say, I know my Heavenly Father knows the balm I need to soothe my woes, and with his touch of love divine, he heals this wounded heart of mine. I know my Heavenly Father knows how frail I am to meet my foes, but he my cause will ever defend, uphold, and keep me to the end. I know my Heavenly Father knows the hour my journey here will close, and may that hour, O faithful guide, find me safe and sheltered by thy side. Amen, somebody. Your Father knows. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop beating your head up against the wall. Stop worrying about how it's going to turn out. Put your faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God, and everything will be all right. And so, dear friend, in closing, as we're still talking about Jesus, God knew that you needed salvation through Jesus Christ. And so if you are with us today, wherever you are in the world, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him today for salvation from sin and hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. All of us are dying as I speak. I know that might be hard for you to accept, but you are and I am. Our bodies die and they're buried in a grave or cremated. Our soul lives forever in either heaven or hell. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. The Bible talks about the lake of fire that you hear about happening right now, I believe, coming out of the volcanoes of the earth. The Bible says that hell expands itself and makes room for others. Jesus Christ said, in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible also says in the book of Revelation, "But the fearful," these are the folks going to hell, the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because they're more concerned about what people might think, their family members and their friends. The unbelieving, these are the atheists and agnostics in the world who don't believe in God. And the abominable, cruel, nasty, wicked people who do nasty, wicked, evil things. And murderers, people who kill others. And whoremongers, this includes men and women who have sex with anybody outside of marriage, and sorcerers, it includes adulterers and fornicators, and sorcerers, people who practice voodoo, people who go online and pull up sorcery sites and witchcraft sites. And this is why Christian leaders and psychologists are saying more and more people are being demon-possessed because of where they go online. This is why we have more young people killing people in school and so forth. They're demon-possessed. Sorcerers are going to hell, and idolaters, that's people who put they put anything or anybody above God Almighty. God does not tolerate idolatry. And all liars. Have you ever lied before? The Bible says, shall have their part. All of these people will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, "Preacher, you're scaring me." I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating the facts. And I have to emphasize this because most preachers today do not emphasize it. Now, hell in the lake of fire is bad news. But here's the good news. The good news is that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to the lake of fire. Obviously, there is a lake of fire somewhere. It's coming out of the earth right now. How in the world can we have a lake of fire? How can we have moving liquid fire like a river, like an ocean, like a lake? Come on, people. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So for those of you who don't believe that there's a hell, and there that and you don't believe there's a lake of fire, just look at the news. Rivers and lakes of fire being formed as it comes out of the earth. The most horrifying and most frightening sight, I believe, known to mankind. More ferocious than a hurricane and a tornado combined. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to die and not be saved from hell. So Jesus Christ took care of that. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell," that is, "but have everlasting life in heaven." And all you have to do to be saved from hell is just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, makes no difference if you are Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Russian, Indian, African, whatever the case. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the lake of fire. Saved from eternal hell. That's how bad sin is. It may be a joke to some of us, but it's not a joke to God. And God is very serious about this matter. And God does not make idle threats. God is gracious and very merciful. But one day you will see the judgment side of God. And you don't want to be on that side. You want to be on the grace side, if you will. So take advantage of this day of grace, this day of mercy and forgiveness, wherever you are in the world, and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to save you. And mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. I'm going to lead you in prayer. And mean it from your heart when you say it. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight in many ways. I have stolen before. I have taken your name in vain. I have lied before. I have coveted and lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. I've dishonored my parents. Lord, I've broken your Ten Commandments. And I've committed other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, I understand I deserve to go to hell. But for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died as the Lamb of God for my sins. He suffered, he bled, and he died. And he was buried because he truly died for me. And then he rose again on the third day. And now lives at your right hand in heaven. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray and forsake. Amen. So, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart today, wherever you are in the world, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you free of charge. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my dear friends, please understand that God loves you We love you. And may God bless you real good. Here's my prayer. Let's all stand.